The Chicago Bulls' first preseason game is now in the books, and the Bulls get a victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. On today's episode, I want to talk about some of my biggest takeaways from the Chicago Bulls' first preseason game and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Air Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And I want to preface this by saying nothing in preseason, good nor bad, should be taken to light. It just shouldn't, right? And while we're going to talk about some of the good and the standouts from this team in their first preseason game, let's be clear here. They still have a lot that they need to show and prove before I'd be even willing to say, as optimistic as I am about this Bulls team, that I'd be willing to say that I'm going to bet on it to hold out to be true in the regular season, right? But some of the things that started off, and we're going to start off talking about the player that led the Bulls in scoring, and that's Modest Bouzelas, right? Modest, if you look at his game yesterday, especially at the start of the game where he had it like, had times where Evan Mobley was on him, things like that. Modest is going to be very aggressive this season, it seems like, right? His athleticism is still 100% there, even with the added weight that he added on. And that was something that I was looking for in last night's game was, yeah, Modest is balked up some, but does he still look that explosive? Does he still look like that? And he very much so does. I don't feel like I've seen any loss of athleticism, speed, or anything for Modest Bouzelas with this. He looks bigger. He looks more explosive. He looks more intentional as well. I think that's really a good thing to it. Like, Modest Bouzelas has a really unique skill set, and we got to see a lot of that last night. We got to see more playmaking and him as well, like being on ball and those type of things. There's clearly a goal with Kobe White being out of seeing what Modest can do with more on ball creation time as well. He led the team in field goal attempts with 11. He was only behind Patrick Williams in free throw attempts. He scored a game high 19 points. But Modest Bouzelas had the ball in his hands a lot in yesterday's game. And so, you know, I think especially when you saw no Kobe, no Josh Giddey in the second half of the day, you saw a lot more dribbling for Modest Bouzelas. And I do think that there was some of that with him that's really good, right? He only had two turnovers as well. So, you know, those things are great. Now, you know, over the course of the season, I want to see more point forward opportunities for Modest Bouzelas. But I think last night was a good indicator that Billy Donovan at least is thinking that as well, and this coaching staff is going to be trying to challenge him to be and do some point forward type things for this team this upcoming year. And so I think that's all things that are going to bode well. That's going to benefit the Bulls, and so I love to see that. He was extremely aggressive yesterday, finishing 7 of 11 for it. I think when you go also look into his shot chart as well, he attacked the basket. Everything that he got of his 11 shot attempts yesterday, 6 of them came in the rim. And I think you need to point out that there's a big difference from, you know, just it being at the rim or near the rim. No, he was right at the rim, right? And that's it. And he converted 5 of 6 of those opportunities. So that added toughness, that added physicality, that added strength that he worked with is going to help him if that's going to be part of his game as well. You look at this, the combination of size, speed, being explosive, being the athlete that Modest Bouzelas is, that, you know, when he there's an advantage in that for him. And the fact that he has legit forward size, he has way more explosiveness than some of these forwards as well, right? And I think if you ever get a center switched on them too, unless they're a really mobile center, they're going to have their difficulty keeping up with Modest. So as Modest is adding more dribbling and on-ball creation to his game, as he's being aggressive at attacking the rim, getting to the free throw line, these are all things that I wanted to see from Modest Bouzelas. And if those things keep up and stay on track for Modest, you're going to see that. And for what it's worth as well, Modest Bouzelas got some really good defense in there. He fought through screens at time as well. I think he closed out on the three-point line really good. Also, he didn't settle for bad shots very often, which is something that he did last season. You know, I've talked a lot about Modest and how most of his game was either at the rim or at the free throw line. This was a guy that didn't, not at the free throw line, at the three-point line. He didn't settle for bad shots. And when he felt like he had an opportunity to take players off the dribble, he did that, and he didn't hesitate at it. And that's major for a player like Modest Bouzelas. If you get no hesitation from him doing those type of things, those are going to be things that play off for you and big into the season for you. So You know, those are going to be all good things for the Chicago Bulls there as well. So Matis really, really looked good. You know, and I think in watching Matis Muzelis specifically and just how he went about his business, you saw growth from Matis. And that's really what you see. That growth, that consistency is the part that needs to see, you know, if that's going to be there. But for what it's worth, I mean, the test came against the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is one of the best front lines in all of basketball when you look at their forward rotation out there. And Jared Allen did play. Evan Mobley did play. Both those guys played 18 minutes each, which all their starters did. So, you know, no Darius Garland, of course, yesterday. But, you know, seeing Matis lead all scorers in that game, seeing him be as aggressive as what he was in his minutes out there, there was something really special about Matis Muzelis. And we just got to see if that's going to continue to go as well for Matis Muzelis. Coming out of this as well, like if you look outside of Matis Muzelis, let's talk a little about Noah Essengay. You know, me and Pat, the designer, differentiated on that. Like, I think that Noah was very aggressive. I think that he was aggressive on both sides of the ball. He gave that activity on both sides of the ball. You know, there were a lot of shots that he altered. Didn't always get the block shots, but there were tons of shots that he altered with his length, with his activity, and that's what you want to see from Noah Essengay. You know, at this point in time, most of his time is going to come here in preseason, early in, maybe some in the G League. We don't know how it is, but I tell you what, yes, he was probably against third stringers. I'd have to go back and watch the minute by minute. But what you saw from Noah is the things that we talked about were already in his bag and his strengths. He got to the free throw line 4 times, which is really good considering he only played 14 minutes, 5 rebounds in that time as well. No registered blocks. But like I said, if you go back and watch that game, there are absolutely times where he altered shots with his activity at the rim. 3 offensive rebounds as well, 2 defensive rebounds. This is a guy that it's going to be difficult for teams to keep him off the boards. It's going to be difficult. If he just locks in with being active consistently, it's going to be very difficult for him not to impact the game. And I say that, you know, knowing that he's the youngest player in the NBA, a very raw player. But when you just saw him, like, his shot may come and go. He was 2 of 4 yesterday. He missed, you know, a wide open 3-pointer. But even if the shot comes and goes, as far as stretch shooting, like if you're playing him at the 4 and you're having him near the rim, I tell you what, I don't know if we have a player that's that active near the rim other than Matis Muzelis for the Chicago Bulls. Noah Essengay was very active for what it's worth. Now, do I want to see him get in the game earlier? Yeah, he didn't check into the fourth quarter. I would like to see Billy Donovan get him in there maybe earlier in the second half on Thursday when he plays the Cavs again. Maybe even try to see if you can get him some minutes out there trying to guard either Jared Allen or Evan Mobley just to see how he deals with that level of physicality. If he gets cooked, cool, sit him down. It's a preseason. It's for experimentation. Right now, I can get that you may not want to affect his confidence yet, right? But I think that that's a thing that you have to look at there for as well for Noah Essengay. He performed pretty well. 8 points, 5 rebounds in his minutes, got to the free throw line 4 times. Noah Essengay played really well for the Chicago Bulls last night, and I just can't wait to see a little bit more of him. I can't wait to see over this preseason, how does he grow over the preseason, right? Because that's something that we've seen from some players before, is that they grow every single game. And as you give Noah Essengay more time, more opportunity, how does he respond to that? And if you're really, you know, leaving it open as it stands right now to see if he has an opportunity to even crack your rotation, then I think you owe it to yourself to explore that opportunity. And so Noah, for what it's worth, and I think what he did yesterday, it was good. No light creation. He really wasn't taking players off the dribble. I think there was one time where he dribbled from the 3-point line that I could point out. But other than that, he didn't do anything crazy, you know, with that. But I think that that's what you want to look at. When you're an 18-year-old kid, it's not like I want to see Noah Essengay taking players off the dribble, doing step-back 3-pointers or mid-range shots. I just want to see what can you do to make it simple for him. And in that simplicity of what you're asking from him, how well does he thrive in that? And then you can build it as building blocks, right? That's, again, how Greg Popovich explained development, is that you add something and then you lay that foundation, and then it's like Legos. You just keep stacking and adding different layers of skills and things like that. And, you know, I want to see that a little bit in a smaller, you know, sample size in the preseason for Noah Essengay as we have these games and these opportunities for it. But for what it's worth, the two players that are looked at as, if the Bulls are going to dig themselves out of this hole of mediocrity that they've been in, you need these two guys to step up. Matis showed a lot. I think Noah Essengay showed a little bit things as well. One thing that was also very evident is that the Bulls, without Coby White and his scoring and how he does create off that scoring, you can tell that the offense stagnated some. You know, we talked about yesterday a stat that Coby White led the league in transition points last season. And I think that was definitely evident. You know, you miss that, right? And the Bulls don't have somebody who can replicate that easier. They just don't. They don't have somebody who can score at that volume. Sure, you can do it by committee. You can hope that Modest is going to step up in some of those areas too. But I do think you saw times where, like, having Kobe White as a kickout, having Kobe White as a player that would have driven and tried to get to the rim, how those things would have helped put pressure on the defense for sure in those certain moments. But then again, the Cavs are also missing Darius Garland. So, you know, I'm not necessarily judging it just off the result, but seeing in the play style. And so when you have a player like that, and I think that also added to the increased turnovers by the Bulls. We didn't have Josh Giddey in the second half. We had him in the first half. We didn't have Kobe White at all in this game. And I think when you look at one of the bigger concerns in this game was definitely the turnovers by the Chicago Bulls. But I think part of that is that you didn't have your other ball handler out there. You didn't have Kobe White out there. And because of that, like, it definitely impacted the way that you play basketball. So, you know, not to put it all on Kobe, but I do think Kobe is going to be one of the engines of this offense, absolutely, in the way that we play stylistically. He's definitely going to be that. So, you know, that was noticeable by the Chicago Bulls. And especially when you look at, like, the number of turnovers that we have had there, that's something that stands out also. So, you know, the absence of Kobe was evident. But, you know, for that, people stand up. And Trey Jones and Ayo Dosunmu, those guys, what they gave the Chicago Bulls yesterday was great. And that gives us into what I want to talk about next. The Bulls may have a serious bench unit here. They may have themselves a serious bench unit. And I say that, you know, not saying it lightly at all, but, you know, it was preseason, meaning that we didn't necessarily play the exact style that we would play, you know, in other situations. Of course, I'm not going to say that wouldn't be the case. But when you look at how Trey Jones affected the game, how he came in as a scorer, as a facilitator at times, Ayo Dosunmu picked up the energy almost immediately when he went in into that game, and he put pressure on the rim as well, and, you know, pressure on both sides of the ball. You also saw Ayo close out on defenders. He got up in Donovan Mitchell's face several times. Like, Ayo, one of the things coming into the season that I thought was going to happen, I didn't know for sure, was that with Ayo being now a six-man, clearly, is that could give him an opportunity to really kind of thrive in that six-man role, because he knows exactly what's going to be asked of him. Yeah, there's going to be nights where we need more offense. There's going to be nights where we need him to focus more defensively. But he really has the opportunity to come in there as a game changer and changing the pace of the game and trying to dictate that some. And I think Ayo can very much so thrive in that area. And I think we saw that in yesterday's game. And again, that was without Kobe White being there. Ayo Dosunmu played really well. Zach Collins played amazingly well also. And for Zach, you know, the thing that stood out about Zach Collins was that, again, I like going to simplicity, right? You're going to hear me use that a lot. Zach Collins gave 16 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds in 14 minutes. And how did he do that? Just being tough at the rim. Tough on offense, tough on defense. He made some really good passes with his 3 assists there, but he just kept his head up. He was active. He was ready for the ball when the ball came to him from the guards. He moved in the right way. He came off screens really good. And Zach Collins in that role can thrive in that. And I said this over on Locked On Bulls. The thing about a bench, and when you find a bench that finds its rotation, the thing that makes it special is the fact that you don't ask guys to really do things that are outside of their strengths. You're able to play to your player's strengths on the bench, meaning you're not necessarily looking for somebody to come in and score 20 points off your bench if they're not a scorer, right? You're looking for these guys to do things that, as Trey Jones, you're looking for him to be a point guard, hit open shots, be aggressive at attacking. Four steals from him, four for five from the field, which is really good. So a player like Zach Collins, who, like, just by being tough at the rim and doing those type of things, can really help the Chicago Bulls quite a bit. So I'm looking at those three players: Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Ayo Dosunmu. What they did off the bench really, you know, points to the Bulls having a pretty solid bench unit this year. And I think that that's something that could definitely help this team get over the hump. Now, Kevin Huerter didn't have necessarily the best game, and, you know, we know that Kevin Huerter and Isaac Okoro are both the two players that are being considered for the starting small forward role. If you're basing it just off that game, Okoro outplayed Kevin Huerter. 11 points, 3-7 from the field. He was even better three-point shooting yesterday. And you saw that Isaac Okoro was very aggressive early on. And that physicality that we've heard about, that he's bringing, all those type of things, it was evident. And it didn't feel like just lip service when you got to see him out there playing. Like, that dude was bringing the aggressive level right away, very early in to the game, right? And so, you know, you need that. And I do think you need that tone setter for the Chicago Bulls, right? We talked about what the Bulls are trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish this season with adding physicality. And while I've said it many times, you can't trust or rely on just one player to bring the physicality, I do think, you know, you have somebody that can set the tone there, that other players see, and it does become contagious. And I know that's kind of one of those things that sound rah-rah rather than an actual, like, formalized thing, but I think it's real. And Isaac Okoro can definitely help this team in the way that they do things and what they need him to do. And if he's going to hit the three-point shot like that and attack the rim like he did, you know, being in the open court, like, keep in mind, Isaac Okoro hasn't been a player that's been in very heavy, like, fast-paced teams where they're playing at the pace that the Bulls are in. So that could be another added wrinkle to his game as well. So, you know, the bench, you know, Kevin Huerter being out there as a shooter, I do think he's going to shoot the ball better than what he shot yesterday. He's a shooter. He needs to get in rhythm, right? Those type of things need to happen. But I think that the Bulls can have themselves a pretty nice bench rotation. And then I guess we got to talk about it. P. Will was a lot more aggressive yesterday. A lot more aggressive yesterday. And I know that there's still that stigma and that stink on P. Will because of being drafted fourth overall, because of the $18 million, all those type of things. I'm removing that. I don't have to pay him the $18 million. You can't undo him being drafted at fourth overall. But for a end of the bench, he was the 11th player to check into the game. And what he did there, I tell you, that's actually pretty damn solid, right? Like all P. Will has to do this year is play solid defense and hit open shots. Now, he did more than that. He put the ball on the floor. He tried to get to the rim. He got to the free throw line, right? He did those type of things yesterday. And those are things that if P. Will is going to be this bench player, but he can do those things even semi-consistently being in whatever spot that you have him in, that's going to bode well for him. Getting to the free throw line 6 times in 16 minutes, I tell you what, that's being active out there. Did he look like the most, like, P. Will is always going to look like P. Will. And that just is what it is. But I do think you saw a P. Will that was moving more fluidly, that was moving with more intention. He still had times absolutely where he fell asleep on plays. There were times where he got the ball, he kind of dribbled, and it's like he didn't know what to do with it. Everything wasn't all sunshine and rainbows for P. Will, not by any means necessary. But it was a lot better than what we saw at times. And now that he is just a bench player, I think everybody kind of reformed their thoughts. P. Will now on this team is a bench player. And for what you typically expect from bench players, he did those things pretty well yesterday. Now, can he do it consistently? That's the question that plays into this. That's what you need to ask, especially if he's going to be in the rotation. But again, for people that were saying, oh, P. Will is going to be in the rotation just because of the $18 million contract, I tell you what, I think yesterday with Billy Donovan showed that's not necessarily true. We shall see, right? We shall see what's going to happen there for P. Will. But for what it's worth, like, let's be clear. No, Essanga played more minutes than P. Will. He played more minutes than P. Will. Dalen Terry played more minutes than P. Will. I'm just saying. So we got to see what's going to happen there. And I do think that over the rest of these preseason games, that battle into that rotation, you are already seeing, I think with Dalen Terry, the game-saving block, those type of things, P. Will being more aggressive, I think that these players realize, hey, if I don't show out here in preseason, I may not be in the rotation. There's a big chance that I'm not going to be in the rotation. So the Bulls have 4 preseason games left. One more against Cleveland, one against Milwaukee, and then one against Denver and Minnesota. And how that back end of the bench performs, because they're going to get ample opportunity. They may, in the last game or the game before the last game, they may run the closest thing to their actual rotation that we'll see. If Coby White plays in any of these preseason games, it's probably going to be in that one. But it's going to be a fierce competition for who's going to be on the back end of that roster. The bench looks like it's going to be solid rotation. Those 4 guys, Kevin Huerter, Trey Jones, Zach Collins, and Ayo Dosunmu, those 4 guys are going to form a pretty solid bench unit when it's all said and done. I believe that. I think Kevin Huerter, even if he is a streaky shooter this year, having that shooting is going to be important coming off the bench. Who you bring in as the 10th guy? Who you bring in as the 11th guy? Jalen Smith, I didn't talk a lot about him, shot the ball like ass. But I think that his activity at the rim, you can notice and you could tell that Billy Donovan told him, hey, you didn't get into the game last year because Zach Collins was a better rim protector. If you go and watch just the defensive possessions with Jalen Smith at the rim, you'll see that he guarded the rim pretty damn well. Was it excellent? No. Did he walk away with a ton of shot blocks? No. But he deterred shots. He altered shots. He did those type of things. So this battle for the back end of the bench is going to be really, really interesting because Dalen defensively he went 2 of 3 from the field as well with 3 assists, 3 rebounds. As a 10th guy in the rotation, you can do that. P. Will, we already talked about him. Jalen Smith, he's going to try to make his name known. And Noah Essanga, I don't think he's going to fade quietly into the night and just allow Billy Donovan not to have him in the rotation either. These guys are showing up to play, and they're trying to bring something serious to this team. And so let's hope that they can do that. We shall see what's going to happen there. I think the Bulls are – there were some good takeaways from this preseason game. Now, we play again tomorrow. We'll be live again tomorrow. Let's see if they can do it again. But that's my time for today, y'all. That's my thoughts. You guys can let me know how you feel on everything down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. If you send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. And then lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything basketball related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.